Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're still talking about Christian prayer, and we're ready to talk with you. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. So far, just to recap, so far, Christian prayer, the voice of faith, that faith is in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, it's this simple. Jesus is the reason God both hears and answers prayer. There is no other reason, not our earnestness, not our persistence, not the words we use, not the time spent in prayer, not the number of people who pray, not getting the words right or not getting the words wrong. The only reason God answers prayer is because of the perfect life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for those who pray. That's why he answers all prayers, whatever they may be. That's why he answers no. That's why he answers yes. That's why he answers wait. God's answers all come because of Jesus Christ. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. He's associate professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. And he's author of several books, including our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is God Listening. Now, you can join us if you'd like to, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, keep trying. We're going to be freeing up those phone lines in just a moment, 1-800-730-2727. We also have a live in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Steinman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Always nice to be here.
Jeff is on the line waiting to talk with us from Vandalia, Illinois. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Steinman. Hi, Pastor Todd. I got a question in regards to addressing God when I pray. And I don't know whether I should always say, Almighty God, Merciful Father, or should I just say, you know, hey, God, this is Jeff. I've got a problem. Or sometimes I don't even say anything. I just say, thank you for this day. And I don't, you know, am I doing it wrong, or is there any certain way I'm supposed to do it?
Jeff, it's an excellent question. I remember, you know what I did? I picked up my dad's habit. My dad always began every prayer, and he prayed a lot, Heavenly Father, every time. And that's how all mine begin. It's not even a conscious thing, Dr. Steinman. How do we address God?
Well, I think the marvelous thing is that God invites us to think of him as a father, and if we can use that analogy, maybe sometimes I address my father very formally, maybe even use the word father. Sometimes I was more informal, dad. Sometimes I didn't use any address at all, and I went up to him and asked him or spoke to him whatever I needed. And I think God encourages us to think of him as our Heavenly Father so that we can do the same thing. And there are any variety of ways we can address him, and even at times when it just flows out of our heart, our joy and thanks for what God has done, that we just maybe blurt out our thought without even having an address. Our Heavenly Father knows, and he's a loving Father who understands that, and he hears.
Dean is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dean, thank you for being patient, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, what was the host, your name, please?
I'm sorry, it's Todd Wilkin.
Todd?
Yes.
Hello, Todd and Doctor. I have a question. I was born and raised a Catholic, and then I became Christian probably about 12 years ago. And being in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's a lot of the charismatic movement, and I was always confronted by people going to the different, more of the charismatic colleges and stuff and Bible schools, and they were always trying to encourage me, like, pray in the tongues or pray in the heavenly language, and it never come out because it didn't seem like that was what it was about. And then in later studies, the speaking in tongues was a dialectos or language. But yet some would say, oh, that is speaking in our spiritual language. And these are the issues that I see because I have Christian brothers that are, you know, in that kind of movement, and they say they pray this way, but it just doesn't seem, I'm at odds. That's why I'm calling.
Dean, thanks for the call. Dr. Steinman.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent concern because many people face it nowadays in many parts of the country and even around the world. And again, it gets back to kind of a confusion about prayer. Those that think that somehow my prayer is better if I pray in a language I never learned, or I pray in tongues, as they call it, once again are beginning to focus on human efforts to come before God and putting the cart before the horse. God comes to us in His Word, and it's not our prayer, whether it's spoken in our native language, whether that's English or German or French or Swahili, it's not our words that make us able to come before God and be heard by Him. It is His invitation in Jesus Christ that makes our prayer heard. And so we need to be very clear about this because the Scripture never says it's better to pray in tongues. And in fact, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says he'd rather speak a few words in a language that's understood, that he understood and his hearers understood, than he would 1,000 words in a tongue that nobody could understand. And so I think you raise a good question, and I think you perhaps need to remember that prayer is not heard because of our words, no matter what their language. Our prayer is heard because of God's invitation to hear His children in Jesus Christ. And so no matter what words we use, when we bring our concerns and our praise and our thanks to God, He hears because of Jesus Christ, not because we're speaking in any particular language.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Next up, George from New Orleans. George, welcome to Issues, Etc.
I have a question about unanswered prayer.
Yes.
And I've been praying to try to make some new friendships, and over the years, in church or out of church, I can't seem to make any friendships. Nothing seems to work. Any idea what I should do?
George, thank you. Let's see what Dr. Steinman has to say. The whole issue of unanswered prayer, I mean, some people will say, Dr. Steinman, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God either says no or yes or wait, something along those lines. What do we do when it seems like God isn't listening, or if He's listening, He isn't answering?
Well, when it appears to us that God isn't listening, that should drive us back to His Word and His promise, because God is listening, and in fact, He is answering, and sometimes in ways that we don't perceive. And I would recommend that you continue to pray, pour out your heart to God for the things you want, but also trust that He is already answering your prayer. And perhaps sometimes it's things you don't see, or perhaps He's directing you in a different direction instead of sometimes the answer, and I can't say what the answer is in this particular case, but sometimes the answer is God is directing you perhaps not to be so concerned about how many friends you have, but to His Word and His promises, and the rest will come in His good time. Or maybe God is saying to you, I've already given you some friends, concentrate on them. Or maybe God is saying something else that I don't even know. But what it should do is drive you back to His Word to say, the friend I really need is Christ. He's the friend better than all others. And in His Word, I can find all that I need. And then God will answer the other concerns as they are needed. He always answers prayer. Sometimes we just don't see what the answer is, and when we don't see it, we need to go back to Christ. We need to go back to His Word. We need to focus on His promises.
George, I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Steinman's book. It's our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August. Is God listening, making prayer a part of your life? In fact, Dr. Steinman, the opening chapters of that book are quite good, right to the point of your question. Before we go to this break, picking up on what George asked, If I ask for something to which God's Word does not speak, on an issue that I can search Scripture high and low and not find any specific promise, not find any specific reference to what I am asking for, something that seems totally in the realm of the mundane, how do I know whether God is going to hear that prayer? I understand about praying things which God has clearly promised to give us or he has commanded us to pray for. But what about the things where God's word is silent?
I think when God's word is silent, if we once again just go back to the basic promises of God, where he says, I promise to give you all good things. Now, what we think is good for us and what God thinks is good for us do not always line up. Sometimes they do. But when we pray about things where we have no definite answer in God's word, we always have to be driven back to that promise that if I want to pray that God would give me success in an endeavor, I don't know that he wants me to succeed according to the world's definition of success or my definition of success, but I do know he wants me to succeed. He wants me to have what is good. And so I trust that since I can't find a specific passage in Scripture that talks about this, that God hears my prayer, and he does indeed grant me what I need. Even though I may not understand what I need, yet God grants me what I need, even though what I need and what I think I need may not match up.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. We're talking about prayer. We'll be right back and take more of your phone calls.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc. We're talking about Christian prayer. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. Folks, we have several resources on the subject of prayer posted right there on our website. You can go there and read them for yourself. Issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. You'll find all of these articles under the What's New section. Go there tonight at your leisure and fill in the gaps where our conversation has been missing a bit on the issue of Christian prayer. Tim listens in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Tim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. Can you answer me a question about whether a person has a dying relative and they're not a Christian, whether it be a child or their mother, is it the same answer, yes or no?
In answer to what particular request, Tim, what do you...
That they either relieve their suffering or don't let them die or heal them. Is the answer the same for a Christian and a pagan?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Tim. That cleared it up. What about if we're praying for someone who is not a Christian?
God does hear Christian prayers even when we pray on behalf of unbelievers. And certainly a Christian who's praying for someone who's dying, whom they doubt has faith, and after all, we can't look into anybody's heart and never know for sure, but God can. But if we believe someone doesn't have faith and we're praying that God would prolong their life, especially so that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe, we know that God hears that prayer. He hears that prayer also when we pray about our fellow Christians, when we pray that God would grant them a longer life. He hears those prayers too. The answer that he gives is the answer that is needed for every particular person. God knows the time and the hour to call each person out of this life. And Jesus reminds us that we can't add one moment to our life that only God controls when we come into this world and when we go out. And so in our prayer, when we're praying for that, we're asking God really to bless that person, perhaps with a stronger faith, or if they have no faith, to give them some time to hear the gospel. And God will answer that prayer in the way he knows best. And we would never want to have a friend, relative, someone we love and care about die without hearing about Christ. And so I would encourage you to always pray for those that you think have not known Christ or do not know Christ and are dying or are having serious health problems, because we know our Heavenly Father wants them to come to faith, and that is indeed a proper thing to pray about.
On that point of Christians praying for unbelievers, in general, I think Luther's famous for a quote where he says something to the effect of, that's basically what makes the world go round. The world is still in the fair shape that it is now because it's sustained by Christian prayer. I think he says at one point, one little Christian praying for the world is enough to stave off the wrath of God.
Yes, because God, again, has already promised to be favorably predisposed to those who trust in Jesus Christ. And so we pray for the whole world, and especially for those that we know, both our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who aren't yet our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God hears those prayers, and God staves off his wrath until the appointed time, because we know, as Scripture tells us, there will be a time appointed by God when he says, no more. But until then, we pray, and God hears our prayer and answers.
Scott is listening in Nebraska. Scott, thanks for being so patient, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I've always had a bit of a dilemma, and it has to do with faith, and I can't quote the exact scripture, but I know the New Testament is very clear on coming to God and believing what it is that you ask for. And I know in one particular scripture it says, you should never expect to get what you pray for if you don't believe. And it alludes to a man who looks at his own face in the mirror and then turns away and forgets what his own reflection looks like. And I find myself sometimes, I don't know, giving God a way out, you know, because it's like, well, it must not be according to his will. And then I'm conflicted because if I have enough faith and believe in what it is that I'm asking for, then God will respond. And so, do you see my dilemma? It's kind of like, you know, you better have faith and stand for what it is you believe in, because that's God's word. Yet, juxtaposed against praying in or out of God's will, it seems to have a bit of a conflict with me from time to time. Maybe you could help me out.
I understand what you're saying there, Scott. Let's see if we can sort the passage out, because there are several passages he made reference to. One comes from the book of James, where it talks about a man who prays without believing for a God, that God will answer his prayer. It's like someone who's just tossed around on the surface of the waves. And elsewhere, Jesus does say, ask and believe that you will receive it. What exactly is being said in both of these places?
Well, in the one, the first one from James, where a person doesn't believe and they're just being tossed around, it reminds us that without faith, we're tossed around in this world by our own sinful flesh and by the devil and by the passions of other people, and we don't trust in God, the only solid foundation to stand on, and therefore we can't expect too much from those kind of prayers.
But is that faith that's being called for there? Faith in the outcome or faith in what we want?
No, it's faith in God. And indeed, I would argue that that's what Jesus is talking about when he tells us, you know, pray for something believing, and you will receive it. If we pray in faith, our faith always trusts and believes that God will give us what is proper for us. Jesus elsewhere says, you know, which one of you fathers, if a son asked him for an egg, would give him a scorpion? You wouldn't do that if you were an earthly father and cared about your child. Well, neither would your heavenly father give you the wrong thing when you pray. So if we ask for things in faith, that means we ask that God give us the right thing. And even if we don't know what the right thing is, we may think it's one thing, it's another. And I believe when Jesus talks about asking in faith you will receive, that's exactly what he means. We may see the solution lying in one area and expect the answer to come in a preconceived way, but God gives us always the good thing that we need. He doesn't give us the bad thing that would harm us. He always gives us the good thing we need, and so we believe that God will keep his promise and give us all good things. The person who doesn't believe that, of course, doesn't trust in the promise of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. They're the ones that are tossed around, as James says. So I think we shouldn't say, well, if I'm going to pray that God give me success in my job, and I don't get success in my job the way I measure it, that, well, I didn't have enough faith. No, maybe God gives me success in the job the way he measures it. Or maybe I want a specific item for some reason. And maybe I think I have the best of intentions. But God's will is that I not have that, because I can accomplish what I want to accomplish for him and for my neighbor in different means. And so he sometimes gives me different things. Sometimes he gives me exactly the thing I had in mind, because that was the good thing. But when I pray in faith and believing I will get what I need, not necessarily what my sinful flesh thinks I need.
Folks, I want you to think about that as we go into this break. Perhaps it's the norm rather than the exception that when God answers our prayers, he does not answer in the way that we either think he will. You know, Paul puts it this way. He says he is able to answer and provide far more than we can even ask or imagine. I think the norm, rather than the exception, is God outdoing our prayers in his answers, not only in his wisdom, and sometimes might even say in his cleverness, but also in the goodness of his answer. We pray for what we consider to be good for us. God, who knows what is good for us and intends the good for us, always answers far in excess of what we can ask or imagine. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Scripture is filled, Old and New Testament, with prayers. What can we today learn about Christian prayer from the prayers of Holy Scripture? How did faithful men and women of the Old Testament pray when God seemed silent, when God seemed to have turned his back on them? You'll find answers to these questions in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Is God Listening? By regular guest Dr. Andrew Steinman. You can find information on Is God Listening? By going to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find information on the book there. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Is God Listening? By Dr. Andrew Steinman, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has in his grace, in his undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of his Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. Remembering the rich history of the Christian Church, it is the year of our Lord, 1170. For 8 years, Thomas Becket has served as the Archbishop of Canterbury. Becket's loyalty to King Henry II prompted Henry to nominate Becket to the office of Archbishop. Henry had hoped that the nomination would advance his own goal to establish his royal authority over that of the church, but when Henry undermined the independence of the church courts, Becket opposed the king. In a document titled The Constitutions of Clarendon, Henry attempted to establish authority over clergy and to prohibit appeals to Rome. Becket went into exile in France until a truce was arranged in 1170. The Archbishop returned to Canterbury for Christmas. He promptly excommunicated several bishops who had supported the king. On December 29th, four royal knights arrived at Canterbury and murdered Thomas Becket before his own altar. It all happened in 1170, in the year of our Lord.
Promise Keepers, Way Down Workshop, The Prayer of Jabez, The Purpose-Driven Life. Why are so many Christians caught up with the latest crazes to hit the church? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article in the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal titled The Fad-Driven Church. Has the church's quest for relevance made it irrelevant in the 21st century? Find out with the next Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine has also written an article on the Christian life titled Getting Clear on Sanctification. 1-800-737-0172. And the next issue also contains Uwe Simonetto's story, From Hedonism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172. Or write Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The Issues Etc. Journal. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the feminization of Christianity. What does it look like? Dr. Mike Horton will be our guest next week. Is American Christianity becoming focused on emotions and feelings? Is preaching, for example, becoming less objective and more subjective? Less about what the Bible means and more about what the Bible means to you. Why are many evangelical pastors avoiding confrontation? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. when we discuss the feminization of Christianity with Dr. Mike Horton. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of August and into September, you can check out our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. We're taking your email and your phone calls on prayer with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Issuesetc@kfuo.org is the email address. issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Alexandria, Virginia, Deneen is on the line. Deneen, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. I've been praying for something for many, many years, and I want to know, when do I know to stop praying? I know the Bible says to pray without ceasing, and I truly feel that God answers yes, no, or wait. And is it possible that I've gotten my answer and that it's no, and I'm not accepting it? And if the answer was no, will God let me know that the answer is no?
So just for the, if you don't mind saying, what is it that you're praying for in general terms?
I am praying for a mate,
Okay, a husband. All right, thank you very much. I've had this question before, Dr. Steinman, in exactly the same way. I want to be married. I have been praying for this for years. No one's come along. Is this a no from God?
Not necessarily. I mean, it may be God's will that Doneen serve her neighbor without being married. But it may be that God's will is that it is yet in the future. And unfortunately, as much as we would like answers to this, and I'm sure it's something that's been laying on her heart for years, and she would very much like to have a mate to share this life with and to share her faith with, nevertheless, we can't say whether it's God's will that she will ever be married or when that will come. I would say if you still have that desire, you should bring that prayer to God. And you will continue probably to bring that prayer to God until either he makes it perfectly clear to you in some way that this will never happen, or he calls you out of this life. But it's not improper to continue to pray that, because the scriptures don't give us answers to questions like that. What will happen to me in regard to this, in this case, in regard to a mate? I would say that, you know, it's certainly a godly prayer that you want to have the estate of Christian marriage, something that God himself founded with our first parents, that you desire to have a Christian mate. This is a good thing. This is a godly desire. And so bring that prayer to God, but also trust that he answers it in his own way. And we can't know, ultimately, oftentimes, when the answer is a definitive no, until he calls us out of this life. And so perhaps someday God will bring you a Christian mate, or perhaps someday he will remove from you the desire to pray for that anymore because you found something else that kind of fulfills that same or similar need in your life. But until then, I would encourage you to pour out your wants and needs to God in prayer. I know there have been many, many years where I've prayed over and over and over again for something that was on my heart, and I never, in some cases, saw an answer to the prayer. But in some cases, I came to the realization, perhaps God has a different way. In other cases, I'm still praying for those things because I haven't realized that, and it's impossible sometimes for us to know for sure. I would just say pray for that, ask your Christian friends to pray with you for that, and trust that God will answer that prayer in a way that ultimately is best for you and for your neighbor.
Deneen, I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Steinman's book, Is God Listening, Making Prayer a Part of Your Life? It addresses in a little more detail the whole issue of when prayers seem to be going unanswered. We have a listener in Maryland, in Lexington Park, Maryland. Krista writes this. She says the sovereignty of God is a bit of a confusion for her, especially when it comes to prayer. She says, basically, if God is sovereign and loving, then what's the point of prayer? For my poor attempt at a Lutheran/Calvinistic perspective, prayer seems like a sort of sick, manipulative puppet game God plays with humanity. Your response, Dr. Steinman?
I would say we can't come at it from the sovereignty of God as our primary focus. The problem with making the sovereignty of God our primary focus is we're coming at it from a law perspective. God demands we pray. Now, God does demand we pray, but his law is not the important thing compared to his gospel. Both are important, but the gospel is the focus. As soon as we make the law the focus, God is sovereign, he commands we pray, then it does look like he's manipulating us. But if we focus on God through his gospel in Jesus Christ, invites us to come to our Heavenly Father and pour out our concerns to a Father who is concerned about us and who will provide for us and wants to bring us back to his word. And as we pray and we concentrate on his word, we come back to his word, which then brings us to the gospel of Jesus Christ and all good things. And so God is no longer manipulating us. Instead, he's providing for us daily through all the things he puts around us. And our prayers then prompt us to praise and thank him for it, as well as request more things from him. And so I would say as soon as we make sovereignty the issue, we've kind of put the wrong thing at the center of the question. We need to put the gospel at the center of the question, which isn't God's sovereignty, but God's grace in Jesus Christ.
And if someone believes, and we've talked about this several times here in our conversation, Dr. Steinman, if someone believes that prayer is essentially trying to change God's mind or push God in one direction or another, then, of course, God's sovereignty is going to be a huge obstacle there. Well, God is going to do what he's going to do, and I can't change his mind. But if one understands that God answers not so much because he is sovereign, but because his sovereignty is most perfectly known in his mercy toward sinners, and in particular in the giving of his son Jesus Christ for sinners, then of course we have a whole different reason for asking rather than trying to manipulate God.
Exactly. And that is it. If we come at it from God's mercy, then we understand God not as a sovereign who sits on the throne issuing orders, but we understand him as a sovereign who loves his people and lays down his life for his people.
Another listener, Matthias, in northern Arizona asks, can you discuss the sinner's prayer? I'm sure you're familiar with what that means, and why it is not a correct prayer.
I don't remember the exact wording, to be honest with you, Todd.
Well, it's kind of the typical, you'll hear it just about everywhere, and I've been quite curious from time to time where the sinner's prayer actually came from, but it seems to have come down in a very set form. There is the there's a confession of sins, and so far so good. There's an expression of repentance and a desire for the forgiveness of Christ. And then, maybe where the problem comes in, there is, I commit my life to you, I give my life over to you, I hand my heart over to you, I invite you to come in and be on the throne of my heart, or I invite you into my life.
Yeah, and you're right. That's exactly where the problem comes in. There's nothing wrong with confessing our sins to God. In fact, we ought to daily confess our sins to God. There's nothing wrong with repenting and saying, I now understand what I did was wrong, and I am sorry. But we don't say, therefore, I give myself to you, Lord. Instead, we say, Lord, I thank you that you gave yourself for me, and that you have promised me forgiveness. And so instead of giving ourselves to Jesus as somehow the climax of the prayer, that now we're going to be all right with God because of what we have done, we've given our heart to Jesus, instead the climax of our prayer ought to be, God, you gave your son for me, so I am confident that I am forgiven, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And the problem always comes in prayers like that is when we think that our giving of ourselves to Jesus is what matters. What matters is Jesus gave himself for us.
So it's a good example of not only getting prayer wrong, but getting prayer wrong because we misunderstand how it is God deals with sinners.
That's right. He always deals with sinners in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and not through their own efforts.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. We're going to take a break here in a minute. Before we go there, Dr. Steinman, I do want to ask a question, because we've talked about much of this in the context of adults. But anyone who has had children or has children understands the kind of very practical concerns of teaching our children to pray. I mean, there'd be many who would want to give examples of prayer to their children, but they might not think that little children can pray. Maybe they believe in an age of accountability or something like that. Talk about children and prayer. We've got about a minute before this break.
Yes, I think it is very important to encourage children to pray with us and to pray in their own words also. I think it's a good combination of seeing parents or others who are influential in the life of children, of them seeing them pray and hearing them pray and learning by seeing what others do. It's also good to teach them some basic prayers that they can memorize and use, because oftentimes children are at a loss for words as they're learning. But then I think it's also good, maybe in family prayers or in other settings, to encourage children to pray in their own words and to remind them before we pray that we're praying to Jesus who died for our sins so we can trust him to hear us. And those are very simple words that even a child can understand. Jesus died for us, therefore we can trust that he will hear your concerns. Now you can then say to the child, now what do you want to ask Jesus about today? What do you want to thank him for? What do you want to praise him for? And let them learn by doing, but let them also learn by memorizing and by hearing others.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. Our conversation on prayer continues after this.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
so many books on Christian prayer emphasize the Christian rather than prayer. They talk about praying the right prayer, the right way, with the right attitude. All the emphasis is on you. Is this what Christian prayer is really all about? How can you know that God is hearing and answering your prayers even when God seems silent and no answers seem to come? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is called Is God Listening? You can order Is God Listening by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, Is God Listening by Dr. Andrew Steinman. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Our Issues Etc., the book of the month for August is called Is God Listening? We're rounding up our conversation with the author of that book, Dr. Andrew Steinman, right now. What if God appears, or at least seems, not to be listening? What if the answers, and some of our callers have expressed this, are a long time coming, or you're not certain what the answer is? What if you recognize your sin? What if evil seems to be winning? Those are the kind of questions that are answered in Dr. Steinman's new book, Is God Listening? It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for August. It's $9.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House. Call any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or go online and browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. It's $9.99 plus shipping and handling, and when you call or write, make sure you mention Issues Etc. Dr. Steinman, let's get down to the very basics here. Why should we pray? If this is not evident yet, why should we pray?
We should pray because God promises to hear. And we have a God who never breaks his promises. And if nothing else drives us to prayer, it should be that we know that God promised us his Son, and he fulfilled that promise in Jesus Christ. So therefore, when he promises to hear, we should go running to him in prayer at every opportunity, because we know what kind of God we have, a God who absolutely keeps his promises in ways that are well beyond our imagining. So that's, more than anything else, what should move us to pray.
One of the themes that runs through your book, and some of the questions I mentioned there coming out of the break, kind of point in that direction. Talk about the theology of the cross, and we'll need a brief explanation of that, and how Christian prayer fits into the context of the Christian's life under the cross.
That's a very good way to look at this. Luther invented kind of this term of the theology of the cross, and he compared it, or contrasted it, excuse me, to the theology of glory. The theology of glory is what our sinful flesh would have us think, that one gets glory the way the world thinks one gets glory, by human effort, human power, by what humans can do and devise, their cleverness and their powers in many ways. But the theology of the cross says, no, God, through the cross, through what humans think of is foolishness, that God would lay down his life on the cross for his creatures. It's through the theology of the cross that God gives all good things to his people. And that really is at the heart and center of Christian prayer, because it's through the cross that God invites us to pray, and through the cross that God enables us to come into his presence. Without the cross of Christ, without the blood of Christ shed for our sins, we couldn't even stand in God's presence, much less stand there long enough to ask him a question or to praise him or to thank him. But with the cross, we can come before our Heavenly Father because all our sins have been paid for, and we can be confident that in the cross of Christ, we have the invitation to come and ask him for whatever we want, whatever we need.
Does it also inform the other end of prayer, which is now that the request has been made, and it's often made earnestly and over a long time, but now that the request has been made, I don't see the results. I don't see the answers I'm looking for. Does the Christian living under the cross also answer the question, is God still listening? Is God answering my prayers?
Yeah, because, of course, Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. And so the theology of the cross says sometimes an answer to prayer doesn't come in the way the theology of glory would have it, which is, I prayed hard, I got what I wanted, you know, I accomplished it. The theology of the cross says, no, Christ calls us to take up our cross in this life and follow him. And we trust him that we are able to bear that cross because he is there really carrying the cross for us. Jesus tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the reason it is easy and light is because as we bear our cross, we are really bearing the things that God has placed on us in his love in Jesus Christ. And we know that nothing happens to God's people that isn't for the purposes that God has set aside through his grace in Jesus Christ. And so the theology of the cross says it doesn't always come the way we think of in worldly terms, but the answer always comes as we bear our cross behind Christ, who bore his cross so that we could follow him, trusting that all things work for good to them who know and love God, to those who are called according to his purpose in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Steinman, someone has been listening to this conversation on Christian prayer, and maybe they feel a bit inspired by what they've learned here, but they're saying, look, my prayer life is, and I think many Christians would say this, my prayer life is just completely inadequate. You started out talking about how prayer begins with the Word of God, how the real impetus behind prayer, the content of prayer, the certainty that that the Christian can have in prayer, all is rooted in God's Word. So if someone wants to improve, so to speak, their prayer life, where do they go?
Well, I think a great place to go is to the prayers of the Bible itself. And in fact, my book is organized around that. In every chapter, I have several examples of prayers from the Bible, and at the end of most chapters, I have other suggestions of prayers in the Bible that the reader can go read. Certainly, we can read what the Bible says about prayer, but I think it's very, very good to actually look at actual prayers in the Bible, and there's a whole section in the back of the book where I list many, many. I hesitate to say all the prayers of the Bible because I probably miss some of them. But I have a long list in the back of the book of prayers in the Bible, and it's interesting to go see all the different things that God's people in the Old and New Testaments prayed for. And it's interesting to kind of tear apart those prayers and say, what were they asking for? Why did they ask for it? What's the reason that this prayer is in the Bible? What is it teaching me about God's promise to hear prayer and how God answers prayer? And so I think it's just a marvelous way to learn better how to pray. And part of the burden I had, I suppose, as I wrote this book, was to try to show people how to begin to do that. And so in each chapter, I take several prayers, show them how to analyze those prayers as to what the Word of God is telling us about prayer there, and then hopefully they can grow and do that on their own with other prayers in the Bible that I haven't talked about in the book.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is the author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August. Is God Listening? You can order at 1-800-325-3040 or visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section. Folks, if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of the next Issues, Etc. journal, or if you'd like to become our Issues, Etc. lay representative in your local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, or if you'd like to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. No gift is too small, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Andrew Steinman, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a pleasure being on with you.
Dr. Steinman is Associate Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois, and author of several books, including Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, Is God Listening? Well, yes, God is listening. He's not listening just because he likes to listen. He's not listening because he's a pushover. He's not listening because he can't help it. He's not listening because we're earnest or we use the right words or we've somehow grabbed his attention. He's listening because Christ, the very blood of Christ shed at the cross, has opened God's ears and opened God's heart to us. Paul says that along with Christ, we can be certain that God will give us all things. God didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So, along with Christ, we can be sure that God will give us all things. Do you want to see if this is true? Then ask, seek, knock. And you can be assured that because of Christ's death for you on the cross, before you ask, God has already answered and is answering. Before you seek, God has already found you. And before you knock, Christ has already opened the door. And the door that Christ has opened, no man can shut. Christ has opened the ears of God to our prayers, and he's opened God's heart to answer our prayers by his perfect life lived for us and his blood shed for us at the cross. That's why God hears prayer. That's why God answers prayer. And in the end, that's the reason Christians pray. Because we have a God who, in his Son, Jesus Christ, is listening. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.